Thank you all for coming and joining us in this time together. Bob and Karen wanted this to be a time of praise and thanksgiving. So why don't we stand together and sing congregationally. The first song we're going to sing is number 26. We Have an Anchor. This is a song that Millie was just playing, for those of you who are not familiar with it. Number 26.
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings lost strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure out of billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It is safely moored, will the storms withstand, for it well secured by the Savior's hand. Heart to mine, and if I get past through strength be mine. We have an anchor that keeps us afloat, steadfast and sure on the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's surely hold in the strength of fear, when the breakers have told the reef is near. No tempest will break and the wild wind flow, not an angry wave shall our bark or flow. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure.
Number 6, if you would. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. Number 6.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Service with Bob and Karen. Both were very concerned that the songs we pick out were songs that reflected on the character of God and His provision and His grace for every day, every need. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we come to You now, frankly with heavy hearts, hearts saddened over a personal loss, but still, Father, rejoicing in Your provision for Kyle's need and our need. And so, Father, as we worship here together this afternoon, I pray that You'll speak to our hearts, encourage us, especially Bob and Karen, and give us that peace that we've sung about, not just now, but for the rest of the day and in the coming weeks and months. We commit this to You, Father. Pray for Your Holy Spirit to minister the Word to our hearts as it's shared, and help us to leave this room today with a new sense of Your presence, a new realization of Your purpose for our lives. Now we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. The death of a loved one is very, very often a time for personal reflection and evaluation, perhaps setting some new priorities, some new goals, or at least evaluating the ones that we have and gaining a new perspective on them. And this is probably especially true with the sudden loss. And Bob and Karen have asked me to read to you the thoughts that Karen wrote in her journal the evening of November 15th, the day Kyle went to be with the Lord. So if you'll listen, I'll read. The Birth and Death of a Vision. Kyle has gone today to be with Jesus. He'll be there to meet us in the morning. Our earthly plans and prayers for him are no longer. He is where there is no sorrow or sign, no pain or tears anymore, for the former things have passed away. God, we prayed that his and our lives would be fruitful. Maybe you took him to produce fruit in us. Jesus died for us. Did you allow Kyle to do so too, so that our lives would bring honor to your name? Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. Make his life fruitful in death. Make us receptive to the lessons you have for us. Don't let us miss our full growth from any one of them. God, we know that your angels were there and could have saved him, but in your love, you allowed him to die. You wanted him with you, and no wonder. He was such a dear baby. You rejoice in him too. You delight in him who was so wonderfully and fearfully made, just as we did. Jesus, enjoy our little Kyle, and by your grace allow us to enjoy the growth that will come to our lives and others as a result of this special intervening in our lives and in our home. Lord, how I desire for one thing, that you would keep me from dwelling on what lies behind or temporarily here, and press toward your future for us. That I would grow in my prayer life for Bob, Luke, myself, and our ministry. I have been so wrapped up in this life, in material things, with Kyle alive now on a new plane, the spiritual plane of life, help me to be more intent on my giving my life for your spiritual eternal purposes. And God, I know we'll never fully understand your purposes in this. But do use it to make our lives deep, deep wells of character that will build gold and precious jewels into others. Our life's desire isn't ease and freedom from hardship, but fruitfulness in words and the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," at the end of it all. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Make us laborers for your glory. Our lives are but a passing vapor, so why major on making an easy, comfortable home here? What will really last are the sacrifices of ourselves that we send on ahead. Help us be givers of ourselves. I'm so glad that life's ultimate crush for us, death, holds no sting, holds no fear. That really leaves nothing to be afraid of. We have lost so little. Our precious Kyle is with Jesus. What better future could we have ever desired for him and for us? Well, that's growth. The pain will pass. We can likely have more babies. But such joy it will be to see God accomplish the deep desires of our heart in the years we have left. We have time yet to produce lasting fruit for Jesus, to grow through this experience. And our baby isn't gone, just living in a place where we can't see or feel him. In life, he's certainly been at times where I couldn't see or feel him, and I survived it. I can live these days one at a time, too, without him by your grace. The moments will pass away just as they did while he slept in his cradle and I left him to do my work. I'm just leaving him for a longer period of time while I do my work. I'll see him later on. Is Isaiah 44, 3 through 5 for us, where it says, I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing upon your descendants, and they will spring up among the grass like poplars by streams of water. This one will say, I am the Lord, and that one will call on the name of Jacob, and another will write on his hand, belonging to the Lord, and will name Israel's name with honor. Will we have more children who will all grow up with lives reaching deep into yourself for their resources, who will be totally committed to your purposes? Please give us more children and make them fruitful for your glory. Thank you, Jesus, for sending him and for taking him. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. He began as an egg and a sperm, totally unknown to us. You made it into life. Then you chose to end that life you created. We are merely caretakers of him for a short while, just as we are merely caretakers of Luke and many other children you bless us with. You send them to build our lives, and Kyle in his 3 months and death has built our lives. They aren't ours to keep, we know that. You take away one responsibility, Kyle, to replace it for a while with other responsibilities unknown to us now. Our new caretaker, or job, in addition to Luke, may be the needy ones around us. Make us equal to the task. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord or become his counselor? God, I don't question you now, and pray that we will never try to tell you how it ought to be done. You have purposes way beyond our finding out. Help us to trust and rest. Then in the days to come, see some of your purposes. Help us too, Father, to ride life easier. Not to get so frustrated over life's little irritations. Now as we ride out one of life's big losses, we need to be reminded later of the smallness of those things that get us down. How big life's pains can really be. So why get all bent out of shape when the car's not working? Getting a late start, missing supper, and so on. Give us your perspective on the smallness of our daily frustrations. Bob and Karen have asked Jim White to share some things from the Word. So at this time, Jim.
Well, Bob and Karen, all of us today are here because we love you. And God has put us in a body together. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And today we have come together to express to you our heartfelt sorrow over your loss. But also, because we're brothers and sisters in the body together, we want to help strengthen your hand in God. And to comfort and encourage you by the Word and by the Spirit and our fellowship together. And I know of no way that we could do that better than to try to see what God has done in His perspective, to see it in His perspective. To try to see the events of these past 4 days from God's viewpoint. And then at your request, we've gathered together here today to praise God with you. Praise is a tremendously powerful weapon. Satan hates God so much that where one Christian or more are praising God, he cannot even stand in the presence of those Christians. And Satan would try to discourage you and to frustrate you, try to get you to condemn God's goodness. But in the face of praise, he cannot even be in our midst. Many of you know that last Tuesday, on the 15th of November, God in his sovereignty chose to take little Kyle Magistrelli home to be with himself. He was only 3.5 months old, and the Lord took him very quickly and very suddenly. The staff at Eagle Lake were having lunch and a staff meeting together, and their normal procedure was to take Kyle and put him over on the couch and let him take his nap while they were eating. And when Karen went over after lunch, the Lord had taken him. And the thing that the doctor and the state has a regulation that there must be an autopsy, and the coroner and the doctor both said he was a perfectly formed baby. There is no explanation except God chose to take him. And they tried to revive him. The ambulance in Woodland Park came up very quickly, and a helicopter flew up to Woodland Park. And when the ambulance got to Woodland Park, Bob and the baby were in the helicopter and down to Penrose Hospital, and the doctors did everything. But Bob believes that the Lord had already taken him from the very moment that he was discovered. But today we just want to open the scriptures. God has given us His Word on this very subject, and let's try to see how God looks at what's happened this past week. In Psalm 139, the psalmist said, beginning in verse 13, speaking to God personally in a prayer, "For Thou didst form my inward parts, Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from Thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in Thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts to me, O God, how vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee." In this passage, the psalmist here is telling us that even from the very conception of our life, God is intimately and very actively and closely associated with our lives. He is involved with us. And we also see in this passage that every one of us, our days are numbered. The psalmist in Psalm 90 said that for some it may be 70 years, and if by reason of strength 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. David said in Psalm 39, "O Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, Thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before Thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." And it's interesting, this morning as Russ Reed and I were going up the hillside behind the Magistrelli's home there at Eagle Lake, we were going up to the place where little Kyle was to be buried. And Karen said, "You know, we get such a shock at death, but you know, we're all going to die. Everyone who has ever lived up until maybe 80, 90, 100 years or so ago, everyone has already gone to their eternal destiny. So death is nothing new. But in light of all eternity, the scriptures tell us that our life here on earth is just a pilgrimage, just an introduction. And God has numbered our days. And we never breathe our last without it being His perfect will." But then in this passage, notice the psalmist said, "How precious are Thy thoughts to me, O God." God never does anything to torture or punish His children. He punished Christ. And He disciplines us, but He does not punish us. Because if He did, He would be collecting from sin for sin twice. And so all of God's dealings with us are on the basis of discipline as sons. And the psalmist here recognizes that God is constantly thinking about him night and day. I'd like us to look also this afternoon at Hebrews chapter 12. beginning with verse 11, here the writer says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Therefore, Bob and Karen, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame, the bruise that you have received, may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. God will heal you, and He will strengthen your heart. He'll strengthen your hands, and He'll strengthen your knees, and He'll make straight your paths. But you know, the interesting thing about life is that pain is the path to peace. Somehow, the way we human beings are made, it takes the discipline of pain to bring about the ultimate in self-control. For one Christian, God chooses a certain path of pain. For another, He chooses another. There are many in this room that if they could come up to you individually today, could tell you how God has taken them through this path, the valley of the shadow of death. For others of us, we've not known that closely. We can only identify in ideal. But we know from the Scripture that pain is the path to a peaceable life. To be able to sit quietly, to cry softly, as Suzanne Wesley used to teach her children when she disciplined them. She said, I want you to cry, it's going to hurt, but cry softly. She wanted to teach them self-control, and that's what God teaches us to do, to cry softly. And pain is the path to peace. But God will strengthen, He will heal, and He will use your testimony. In fact, He already has. I just want to say personally that this is a tremendous privilege for me today to say a few words to Bob and Karen in their sorrow, because outside of our home, I know of no influence that has had a greater effect on our two older children than has Eagle Lake. I went up on an overnight fishing trip with my son a couple of years ago, and we were in the A-frame, and the next morning I was reading my Bible, and Rodney walked out onto the back porch, and he was just looking around, and he turned to me and he said, Dad, I could stay up here forever. And Bob and Karen, you have invested your life in that camp. You've given yourself to scores and hundreds of boys and girls like my children. And I just want to say thank you. And I know that the other night when I had heard that the Lord may have taken little Kyle, I went to take my wife home, and Rodney was there, and he heard about it, and he said, Dad, could I go with you? And I didn't know what to say. I real quickly shot up a word of prayer and said, Lord, should I take him or not? And the Lord gave me peace to do so. And we went to the hospital, and the nurse took us to the little emergency room, and they had just gotten the word that God definitely had taken Kyle. And here was Bob, very naturally, like any of us would. Tears were streaming down his cheeks, and Karen was weeping, but she was praying, and they were both praising God and thanking Him. And Rodney and I went into the room to pray with them. But it was the first time in Rod's life that he had ever seen how a Christian handles death. And it was a tremendous influence upon him. Because when the tears were over and we got up to leave, there was just a glow, a radiance about Bob and Karen. It was so evident that the grace of God was there. And that night we went home and he said to me, Dad, I can't believe it. I can't believe what I saw. So, you know, God is going to deepen your lives. He's going to use the fruit of your character in your lives for years to come. But I want you to know it's already had an influence in the grace of God in your life in facing death. And let me just tell you some of my honest thoughts. I was thinking about you yesterday, and I thought, Lord, you said in your word that whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he believes in me, he shall not lose his reward. And I was not seriously questioning the Lord, but just trying to penetrate more deeply into what God might be doing. And I said, now, Lord, Bob and Karen have been giving cups of cold water to many little ones for years. Is this their reward? And then as I read this Hebrew passage, I thought, yes, it's part of it. Because like Job, before he suffered, before his children were taken, he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And through this sorrow, through pain, God will deepen you. But let me just read one more passage briefly. In Mark chapter 10, it says in verses 13 through 16, and they began bringing children to him so that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it at all. And he took them in his arms and began blessing them and laying his hands upon them. And I meditated upon this morning because I just wanted to review what Jesus' attitude is toward children. The disciples were indignant. They had a lot of serious work to do. But Jesus wanted the children to come to him. The parents wanted the children to come to him. They brought it. They brought the children. And Jesus, it says, took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands upon them. The difference, Bob and Karen, in this passage and what has happened to you is that Jesus asked for the child. But I think in heaven he does the same thing. He's taken Kyle into his arms and is blessing him and laying his hands upon him. It just dawned on me, Karen, that on the way down this morning, someone said that just a few days ago, you had gone up to that very spot where Kyle was buried to pray for the children. And probably little did you know that when you committed them, that Jesus was going to take him. He's taken him up in his arms, but as you said in your journal, for a little longer than you thought. But I don't think Jesus would have done this on earth if he was not going to continue to do it forever in heaven. And he took them in his arms and he began blessing them and laying his hands upon them. So today, what we want to do is just give the devil a mouthful of dust and to praise and to let God in that praise strengthen your hearts. And I wonder if we couldn't just bow our heads. And I know there are many of you out there that have been close to Bob and Karen, and maybe just a few of you could thank the Lord and to pray for Bob and Karen. And then I'll close in just a moment.
Father, I thank you that your grace is sufficient and that your peace has us all in understanding.
Lord, we know that Christ had compassion. He had compassion on multitudes and he had compassion on individuals. And we thank you that he's the same today as he was. And we thank you that he takes your children into his arms and he says, let the little children come to me. That you have. And right now, especially, be very dear to Bob and Karen and strengthen them and glorify yourself because of this.
Father, we remember your statement. I know the plans I have for you, plans for good, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And we believe this and claim it for Bob and Karen. And we pray that the God of hope would fill them with all joy and peace in believing, that they may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I do want to thank you for your obvious working in this experience in the individual lives and just in the whole episode, and especially the attitudes of Bob and Karen through it. It really honors you, and I'm very pleased about that. I'm grateful. We claim with them that Kyle's death will produce fruit abundantly above all that we could ask or think.
Father, thank you for Bob and for Karen. Thank you for loading Luke and Kyle to them for Bob. For the way they share their children with you and with others. Thank you for Kyle's life and the way it affected many of us during his life, and now, Lord, we would ask that his life even be more fruitful in death. We just thank you for the privilege of knowing him, and we thank you that he's with you today.
Father, we thank you today for the reminder of the power of praise and prayer, and we do pray that we all show you the sacrifices, which point to you, praise and thanksgiving to you.
Father, we thank you that through the blood of Jesus Christ, you have claimed the victory for eternity over Satan.
Father, as we bow in your presence this afternoon, we thank you that Jesus is right here with us, not just in an idea, but literally in our midst. And it says that his heart is touched with our grief, and yet rejoicing and singing comes in the morning. And we thank you, Father, that you never wound but what you heal. And we want today to praise you for your great power, that nothing can happen to us unless it first of all passes your permission. And we praise you today for the beautiful idea that you had of making us creatures in the image of God, and for the privilege of being redeemed. We praise you for salvation. We praise you, Lord, that you allowed Jesus Christ to go through the process of death, and his own mother and family laid him in a grave. But because you raised him, you will also raise us. And we thank you today and praise you that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Lord, we also praise you today for the fact that many of the trials and hardships that we human beings on this earth have to go through, that Kyle will not have to do that. And we, Lord, just praise you that your ways are perfect, that your timing is very perfect. And today we just want to thank you for the fact that we have the privilege of knowing you, for your promises, for your word and your spirit. As Karen said this morning, Lord, she doesn't see how the people of the world that don't know you, how they could possibly take it. And Lord, many, many people today are in living lives of quiet and sometimes not so quiet desperation. And we just pray today for Bob and Karen that you will so strengthen them that wherever they go, their lives will touch others and encourage them and bring them to Christ. So we all want today to rededicate our lives to you and pray that whatever days you do give us, though they be only a handbreadth, that they'll be each day committed to you. And that on the last day that we live on the face of this earth, there will never have been a time when we loved you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn in closing to hymn number 33, "The Lord is My Shepherd." And we'll sing this, and then we'll be dismissed. Shall we stand?
Fall.